Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. My quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now I travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth, with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, soldiers the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
yo,
to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
and you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival, I'm here to strengthen God's saints. And the water's vital,
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them.
I'm the number one selling book of all time, I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, 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 and good morning. Wabakwatawab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to ISBHPK Presents, sponsored by Swore the Truth, Bible Talk. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, as always, Tazi Pa. Joined today again by my wife, Hasadiah, in the building. Hope everybody is good. Hope everybody's Tawab, which means good in Hebrew. Hope everybody had a great weekend, great Sabbath. Hope everybody is healthy, man. First and foremost, man. Health, what they say, health is wealth. Hope everybody's healthy. So, man, I want to send shouts out to our brother schools. Shouts out to Kazaki and them up in VA, Rochester. Also, shouts out to Kwakazop down to H-Town, the brothers down there. Shouts out to the San Antonio brothers, man, War and the crew. Also, want to send shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala. Just seen he, I don't know if he did. Did he do class on Friday? Or was it canceled?
It was canceled.
It was canceled on Friday. Yeah, the Friday before he did class, though. Good to see him back on the airwaves teaching again. And shout out, man, to the 12 tribes worldwide, man, to all of Israel, man, as we await the return of Yahushua, which brings me to this. Let me open up with it. This is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is what we need to be praying on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell up out of this debaucherous, wicked, sodomite, Egyptian place, because it is terrible, man, and it's polluted us in ways we can't even fathom. We've been here so damn long, man. The pollution is subliminal, it's subconscious, it's subtle, but we need to get the hell up out of this place, man. So we should definitely be praying that on the daily, to get up out of here, to be free from the pressures, the oppression, and all that this place gives. My goodness. Let's get the one in Psalms.
Psalm 118:23. Okay. This is the Lord's doing.
Psalm 118:24.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
No doubt. Good or bad, happy or sad. Brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it, man. We can't run away from our battles, from the things that the Most High wants us to go through. Because if you run, y'all, he's going to bring it back around to you full circle. Have you noticed that whatever your battle may be, it'll come, you'll fight, you'll get yourself back together. You know, I did a class on getting clean again, man, and I went into that in depth. But you'll fight, you'll get yourself back clean again, only to get dirty again. It's a repetitive cycle, man. It's like doing the damn laundry. I mean, if you wash your laundry once a week or twice a week or whatever it is, man, that's synonymous with your spirit. Our spirits are the same way. Paul said in the New Testament, he said we sin daily. And we do, man. Like I said, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, and the things around us be our triggers. You know, it's just like an alcoholic. If they see they're watching a show and people are in the bar drinking, having a good time, that's might trigger him to go have a drink or whatever your vice might be, man. You might see it by way of the TV, all these streaming services, or social media, or just being out. You might see something that triggers your spiritual deficiency or your vice. But this is why we have to be conscious of the Most High on a daily, be conscious of our spirits on a daily. The scriptures tells us to walk circumspect. Let's get that real quick. Ephesians 5:15.
See then that ye walk circumspectly.
Matter of fact, what verse are you in? Verse 14.
Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore as he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And
it says to awake thou that sleepest, because this new pop culture thing is to be woke, right? I'm woke. Woke culture, they call it. Well, the Most High wants us to be woke also. And this is Paul's epistle, Paul's letter. He's telling us to wake up, man. Be conscious. This is what he's saying. Be conscious of your spirit. Be conscious of the things that are going on. Because the opposite of conscious is to be unconscious. Meaning, I don't know. I'm not aware of something. You know, they say the conscious community. Meaning what? They're conscious of things that are going on around them. Well, Paul is telling us to be conscious. Be conscious of what? Read it again.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead.
He said, arise from the dead. So if you're not conscious of the things that are going on, if you're not conscious of your spirit, you're what?
Dead.
You're dead. And, Paul, smart brother, man, very educated. The way he uses awake and dead at the same time, man, the closest you come to death is being asleep. That's the closest you come to being dead is being asleep. And you got to think about it. When you're asleep, your heart rate slows down. Your breathing slows down. Your mind's relaxed. You're not really focused on anything but sleep. This is why when you're asleep, you start to have dreams because your mind is slowed down. And we know that, Job chapter 33, I believe, it talks about how the Most High seals a man's instructions in his mind while he's asleep because you're unconscious. So this is something that stood out to me. Read verse 14 again.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead.
So if you're not conscious of things that are going on around you, if you're not conscious of your spirit, you're dead. Means to be you're not conscious. You're unconscious. Read.
And Christ shall give thee light.
And who's going to give you the light if you are awake, if you are aware of the things that are going on around you?
Christ.
Yahweh Shai. Christ is going to give you the light. Meaning what? He's going to give you some understanding. He's going to give you the way of operating, the way of doing things. If you're awake, read.
See then that ye walk circumspectly.
Walk how?
Circumspectly.
Very carefully. Aware of your surroundings. Aware of the things that are going on around you. Aware of your spirit. Aware of the things that will get you dirty again. He says walk circumspectly. Read.
Not as fools.
Not as what?
Fools.
You just wandering around like a damn airhead. You ain't aware of nothing. You're not being cautious in areas you need to be cautious in. He said, not as fools, read.
But as wise.
Be wise. Read on.
Redeeming the time.
Doing what?
Redeeming the time.
You better make use of the time that you got before your house shy get back. You better make use of getting yourself in order, getting your spirit right, redeeming the time, not wasting the time. You're just idle. Oh, I'm bored. I'm idle. I ain't got nothing to do. There's plenty to do. Look around you. It says redeeming the time, read.
Because the days are evil.
Why should we redeem the time?
Because the days are evil. Because
we live in an evil time, man. We're in spiritual warfare on a daily. As soon as you open your eyes, you're in spiritual war. I'm talking about waking up in the morning. Read on.
For be ye not unwise.
Don't what?
Be ye not unwise.
And what does it mean to be unwise? To not be circumspect? To be sleep? Walking around sleepwalking? Walking dead? You're not conscious of the things that are going on? That's what it means to be unwise. So when he says, therefore be ye not unwise, he said, hey, man, don't be sleep. Read.
understanding what the will of the Lord is.
You better understand what the will of the Father is, and the will of the Father is that you get yourself together before his return. Before Yahushua comes back, get yourself together. All right, let me get off my soap. All right, y'all, we're going to dive into the news and current events. If it's your first time tuning in, man, I do about an hour, sometimes more, sometimes less, of current events, news, things that are going on. But I want to go first. Oh, yeah, and also, if it's your first time tuning in, yes, we are Israelites. Those evil, hateful, radical Israel, black Hebrew Israelites. That is really a misnomer to call us black Hebrews, because the Hebrews black. They're black anyway. The real Jews are black anyway. People of color anyway. But we get a very bad reputation, sometimes deservingly so. And I'm saying deservingly so because first, when people hear about Hebrew Israelites, the first thing they do is go online. They go on YouTube. And there's a bunch of craziness out there, y'all. Yes, it is. By way of our people who know they are Hebrew Israelites. And some of the brothers are teaching and doing some very lewd, contrary stuff to the scriptures. And unfortunately, we all fit up under the same umbrella. You know? But, you know, they don't even take the time to look into each individual group's doctrine or what they're talking about. They just clump us all together. And it's funny, too, how they can understand when it pertains to religion and Christianity that there's bad apples in every branch. But when it comes to us, nah, all of us is crazy.
The whole tree.
The whole damn tree to the root is nuts. Anyway, you got that one right there?
Yes. From CBSNews.com. Father and son sentenced to life in prison for federal hate crimes in Ahmaud Arbery's killing.
So I don't know if y'all heard about that. It was in the news a couple of years back, how the brother was out jogging and three white boys, Edomites, hemmed him up and gunned him down. You probably heard about the defense team for the Edomites talking about dirty toenails, long dirty toenails. What the hell did that have to do with him being murdered? But you know, that's what they always do. They call it defamation of character. They try to make the victim look bad. That's the first thing they do, man. It's crazy. I guess, I can talk about that. You know me, I'm an open book, man. It reminds me of, so me and my wife, LaVia, we were talking to prosecutors about this trial that's coming up for our departed son, Elijah, rest his soul. And the prosecutor, he was talking about how the defense is going to try to basically drag our son through the mud to make the defendant look good. And it's a lot of stuff I can't talk about, but it's textbook, man. This is what they do. This is what defense attorneys do. They always try to make the victim look bad so they can get some type of remorse for the perpetrator, man. It's textbook. So anyway, this is what they did, and now these cats is being sentenced, but they're being sentenced on a federal level, y'all. And I was listening to, and this article does not have it, but it was on NPR. It was talking about how the defense was choosing to have them tried at the federal level rather than the state level. And they had this lawyer come on and said he had been practicing law for 35 years, and he had never heard of a defense choosing what punishment that they got, that their client got. But they actually had the choice of whether to go to state prison or federal prison, and their argument against their client going to state prison was people already giving them death threats and gunning for them and waiting for them and so on and so forth. Okay, it's prison. That's what prison is. Hey, what's the old saying? If you can't do the time,
don't do the crime.
Don't do the crime. All right, how much did you get to it? Did you even get to it?
I
know I'm just running off at the mouth. Go ahead.
This was reported on August 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three white men who chased and killed Ahmaud Arbery as he jogged through a Georgia neighborhood in early 2020 were sentenced to life in prison Monday for federal hate crimes. Travis McMichael, the man responsible for fatally shooting Arbery, and his father, Greg McMichael, had already been sentenced to life in prison without parole for their roles in the killing during a state trial in Georgia.
Okay, that's all I want to get from that. They're going to jail. Long story short. Let's jump over to this one. Did they do that to me again? Hold on, y'all. I got to refine the article that I was looking at. Oh, yeah, I seen that too, y'all. Issey Miyake died at age 84. Everybody was rocking Issey. Easy used to go hard, but I ain't gonna front. Yep, they did it to me again. I have this article, y'all, I wanted to go into. Let me see if I can find it. Give me a second, y'all. Let me look for this.
Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deed. To them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Great blue
kiss. You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do you follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
All right, y'all, we back. I found it. Tell them where you at, Hansel.
From NPR. Poll: Black, Native American, and Latino families face serious problems from inflation.
Who?
Black, Native American, and Latino families.
Isn't that interesting? These are basically Israelites. Israelites, if you're unfamiliar with who the Israelites are, yes, it is indeed historically and biblically proven that blacks, Hispanics, and so-called Latinos, I'm sorry, blacks, Native Americans, and so-called Latinos are, in fact, the Israelites. So it says that the Israelites are what? Read this again.
Poll: Black, Native American, and Latino families face serious problems from inflation.
You don't say. We always have. Read on.
Fears of eviction, trouble affording groceries, unmet medical needs. A national poll from NPR, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health finds those are all too common experiences for high proportions of Black, Latino, and Native American adults as the U.S. weathers a grueling stretch of high prices
and economic uncertainty.
And they just raised the interest rates to try to combat the inflation, and it ain't going to do no good, y'all. We at the end. Like Kyle Cobb always say, man, this is good, bad news. It's good in the fact that we're getting closer to the return of our Messiah, Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Christ. Excuse me, that's the good news. The bad news is we got to go do it. We're going to suffer behind this. Are we on?
In fact, more than half of Black and Latino households report the recent price increases driven by inflation have caused them serious financial problems.
Because our white counterparts, they suffer, but they don't suffer at the rate that we suffer at, because they have savings. They have stocks and bonds. They have other resources, financial resources that we don't have. We don't have the luxury of having. Marino.
It's even higher among Native Americans, with that number rising to more than two-thirds of those surveyed. The poll's findings released in a report on Monday include data from the five largest racial and ethnic groups in the U.S. Altogether, more than 4,100 adults were interviewed between mid-May and mid-June of this year. The data underscores the racial and ethnic minorities are having a tough time compared to their white counterparts in some key spheres of American life, particularly with finances, affordable housing, neighborhood safety, education, and health care.
Now, this is the thing we've always had an issue with. These are disparities that have always been here because of white supremacy. It ain't nothing new. It's just getting worse now. And there's a reason for this, y'all. I'm going to go into that in a second. Rio.
Survey shows acute financial troubles. While some of the results clearly relate to long-term barriers and inequities, the disparities uncovered in the survey also point to a handful of short-term pressing problems that are deeply concerning, says Robert J. Blinden, co-director of the survey and emeritus professor at the Harvard T.H. Chan School. We've been looking at disparities for many years, but the acute needs caught us a bit off guard, he says. In this period, when we're all suffering from inflation, people are at risk, high risk for either being homeless or actually not being able to feed their families. In a sense, the impact of economic insecurity is the connective tissue for many of the survey's findings. 55% of Black and 48% of Latino adults say they are currently facing serious financial problems. For white adults, it's 38%.
Now, you see the disparity? Read.
A majority of Black and Latino households say they don't have emergency savings to cover at least 1 month of expenses.
I.e., we live check to check. We rob Peter to pay Paul. Read.
White adults are also more likely to receive significant financial support from older relatives.
From what?
Older relatives,
i.e. slave money. old money is slave money, y'all. Money they got from our labor, from the free labor that built this country. And they always talking about we need to forget about slavery, trying to write it out of the history books like it never happened, like we just was born this way. We just some lazy, shiftless niggas, and they just the smartest, hardworking people in the world, when that is not the case at all. They have what's known as generational wealth, which we don't have. We have generational poverty, generational debt. It's not uncommon to see one generation that grew up in the projects or grew up in subsidized housing or financially based housing, only to raise another generation in the same conditions and go on and on and on. I mean, why do you think our people be celebrating, ignorantly, I might add, when you get a kid that's the first to go to college in the family? And this be like third, fourth generation, or fifth generation, sixth generation. I mean, it just be like that. It be celebrating. Because that is not normal for us. But that's normal for them. That's normal for Esau. they already know that when their kids are born, they start putting up for college tuition. They already know they're going to college, it's a no-brainer. They know this. It's not like that for us. So I want to read this. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and let's start at verse 9. You got it?
Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be.
Now, what this is saying, y'all, is that history repeats itself. So you have past, present, future. So it says the thing that hath been, that's the past, is the thing that shall be. That's the future. Read.
And that which is done is that which shall be done.
And that which was already done is that which is going to be done in the future. Read.
And there is no new thing under the sun.
And there's nothing new under the sun. So why am I reading this? I'm reading this to show that what's going on here in America and what's happening, the experience that we have right now in America, we also had them once before time. Let's go there. Let's go to Exodus chapter 5 and verse 7. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 4.
Exodus chapter 5, verse 4. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?
Now, this is when Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh to petition Pharaoh to let God's people go, the Israelites, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, to let us go that we might go back to the land of Canaan, which eventually became the land of Israel, to worship and serve our power or our God. And this was the result, or this was Pharaoh's response. Read.
And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.
So the people were many, no different than now. It's many of us. It's so many of us here just in the United States that they said in, I think like 20 years, that so-called white people will become the minorities. Because there's so many of us here now. No different than it was back in Egypt. Read on.
And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying.
So the taskmasters, the people that control things, saying what?
Saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick.
Don't give them no more straw to make they brick. Mean what? Let's make things harder for them now. Let's make things harder to where they got to work 2 and 3 jobs. They got to put in overtime. They always chasing the bag, as you hear our people always saying. And if we're always doing that, then we don't have no time for who? We ain't got no time for the Most High. So this is all by design to get us what? To not worship our power, to not serve our power. And in return, since we don't serve our power, we don't even understand that our power, our God, wants us to teach our children his ways. But if you're always at work, what time do you have to do that? So all of this is by design, but it's nothing new. Pharaoh did this also. Read.
Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves.
Let them find their own way. This is anonymous, man. This happened back in Egypt. Now it's going on here in America. And America is spiritually, and we're going to get to that, called Egypt. And America is also referred to the scriptures, in the scriptures, as Babylon. Let's get to that. Let's get Jeremiah chapter 50. And let me see what verse we want to start at. I want everybody to understand that every nation And all people are in the Bible. The Bible, first and foremost, is a history book. You know, because we get a lot of people that come against us saying that, well, the Bible don't say that. The Bible don't mean that. How are you going to say that Babylon is America? They think that the Bible's just going to come out and just say, oh, yeah, Babylon is America. Like they think the Bible won't say, come out and say, yes, the so-called white man is Esau of the Bible. Or the so-called black and Hispanics and Native Americans, they're the Israelites. They think it's going to plainly say that. The Bible's not written like that. Matter of fact, before we get that, let's get this. Let's get Hosea. Is it Hosea or Amos? Hold on. I think it's Hosea, though. Let me check this real quick. Hosea 10 and 11. I think it is. Hold on. It's 12 and 10. Hosea 12 and 10. So I want you to understand, this is, so the Bible, first and foremost, is a history book because it's written three ways: historically, prophetically, and symbolically. So the Most High used a lot of symbolism in the Bible. So read this right here. This is an example, and just to prove what I'm saying. Hey, come here. Turn around. No, sir. No, sir. You already know better. Go ahead.
Hosea 12 and 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have most...
So the Most High said he spoke by the prophets. So how does the Most High speak by the prophets? And we know that the prophets, Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those brothers, Jeremiah, Isaiah, those are the prophets, which is basically the Bible. So when he says, I have also spoken by the prophets, or spoke by the prophets, the Bible, read.
And I have multiplied visions.
So how does he speak to the prophets?
Visions.
Through visions, read.
And use similitudes.
Similitudes, similarities, things that depict something similar to what the point he's trying to get across, but not exactly the exact thing. He uses similitudes, like Michelle was going over that class about the sower. Christ spoke in similitudes or allegory. He speaks in similitudes, read.
By the ministry of the prophets.
Right. The Most High ain't going to just directly tell you, hey, Babylon is America. No. He left us similitudes. He left us clues. All right? So let's piece it together. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 50 and start at... my little scribble. Verse 13.
Jeremiah 50, verse 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall...
So Babylon is going to be desolate. It says, everyone that goeth by Babylon, read.
Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished.
Shall be astonished. And this is a future prophecy. Read.
And hiss at all her plagues.
And hiss at all her plagues. Now, let me make this clear, y'all. So you got three Babylons in the Bible. You have ancient Babylon, which was under Nimrod. Then you have Neo-Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, and then you have Babylon the Great, all right? Babylon the Great. Now, this prophecy here is talking about Babylon the Great. Let's read on.
Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about.
So put yourself in array around Babylon, meaning surround Babylon. Read.
All ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord.
Read on.
Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down,
for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she hath done, do unto her.
Now, this is, like I said, this is talking about Babylon the Great, but it's also talking about Neo-Babylon. So it's a twofold prophecy. But let's get to the point, verse 16.
Verse 16, cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest.
So a sower is a farmer, because when you sow, you plant something. It says cut off the farmer from Babylon. When you go back and look at ancient Babylon, or you go back and look at Neo-Babylon, they flourished as far as agriculture. They had crops. They had food. But look at Babylon the Great, like I said, which is, again, America. I'm going to prove it. Look at how the crops are deteriorating from the drought right now. Look at how you got cows just and other animals, livestock, just falling out dead because of the drought right now. Look at how you have the floods going on in throughout the Midwest and over on the East Coast. Look at all the destruction coming that's disrupting agriculture. So this is what it's talking about. It says, cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handled the sickle in the time of harvest, because that's how you harvest wheat or grain, using the sickle. Read on.
For fear of the oppressing sword.
For fear of what?
The oppressing sword.
The sword is a weapon. And we just read about in verse 14 how Babylon is going to be surrounded by those that bend the bow. This is talking about how America has got nukes pointed at them. The bow, you ever seen that movie with John Travolta in it called Broken Arrow? That's what it's talking about. And then the broken arrow is referring to a nuclear warhead. Right now, America is on a thin line. The relations are not good with America and Russia because of what Ukraine's got going on. Oh, sorry, what Russia has going on against Ukraine. And then America then stirred the pot up a little bit because Nancy Pelosi just went to visit Taiwan, which China used to own Taiwan, and they say they still do. And they want America to stop dealing with Taiwan like it's an independent nation, like they have their own sovereignty. But China's like, hell no, we still own that place. So that's shaking up relations with them. And we already know about the Middle East conflict that America has. So they don't like Americans over there either. So that goes back to verse 14 when it talks about the bows being aimed at Babylon. Now, getting back to verse 16, when it says, for fear of the oppressing sword, all people are in fear of America going to war with another nation. Read.
For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people.
And because of this, everybody's what? Turning to their own people, meaning what? Their own race, their own culture. They're concerned about their people. Now, when the crap hits the fan, everybody's going to be concerned about their circle, their household. But it's going to get to a point when you're going to have people of color, the so-called Israelites, the Israelites, which are those blacks, Native Americans, and so-called Hispanics, gathering together, going to our own people. Because why? Our white counterparts, who we loosely refer to as white, are they going to be gathering together? This is going to be something that's common. This is going to happen. This is a future prophecy. That's why it says they shall turn everyone to his own people. Read.
And they shall flee everyone to his own land.
To his own land. Now, let me ask y'all, what land are we going back to? What land do we have to go back to? We don't have no land to go back to. Our land is being occupied now by imposters claiming to be Jews, calling themselves Jewish, the land of Israel. We can't go back to that land. You know, and the so-called white man always talking about us going back to Africa. We ain't Africans. What are we going to go back to Africa for? They don't like us, and they know we're not the same people. So let's get Revelations 18 and 2, because I made a bold statement, and I have to prove this statement that America is in fact Babylon. So we got clues from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 13 through 16, pointing to America as Babylon the Great. Now let's get Revelations 18 and 2. You got that?
Revelations 18 and 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen.
Babylon the Great. So this is not ancient Babylon. This is not Neo-Babylon. This is a whole different other Babylon. And I did a whole class over this, too. I think it was titled The Three Babylons or Babylon the Great. Anyway, what does he say about Babylon?
Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils.
So Babylon the Great has become the habitation or living quarters of devils. Read.
And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
Once again, the Most High is using that allegory. He's talking about caged birds, hateful birds. You're making too much noise, sir. But he's talking about America. And remember, it was first with Babylon the Great. Now let's get Revelations 11 and verse 8. We're going to tie this all together.
Ready?
Yep.
Revelation 11 and 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city.
No, it says their dead bodies. The day is us. I broke this chapter down before. Mishabah has as well. So our dead bodies, and this is talking about us being spiritually dead, not a physical death. But it says that our dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. Now, what did Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2 call Babylon? Y'all remember?
Babylon the Great.
Babylon the Great. So it's still talking about Babylon here in verse, I'm sorry, Revelation 18 and 11 and verse 8. Read that again.
Revelation 11 and 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city.
What great city? Read Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 again.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen.
So the great city that's talked about in Revelations 11 and 8 is Babylon. Hope everybody's seeing this. Now read Revelations 11 and 8 again.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom.
It's spiritually, not physically, spiritually called Sodom. Now what was going on in Sodom, y'all? Matter of fact, look up the word sodomy. Dictionary ain't fun. So we can get an understanding of what it's talking about when it says Sodom. So she's going to get that definition. But remember, and go back and read the story if you're unfamiliar in Genesis, about what was going on in the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, the angels came to visit Lot, and what did the men of the city of Sodom want to do? They wanted to have intercourse. They were talking about gang bang raping these two angels. And when you read into Josephus, it tells you that these two angels were boys. They were young men. So what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? Pedophilia, homosexuality. This is where you get the word sodomy from. Can we read that, the definition of sodomy?
Anal or oral copulation with a member of the same or opposite sex.
So read the definition again.
Anal or oral copulation with a
anal
member.
Anal or oral with a member of the same or opposite sex. So that's what was going on in the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, y'all. That's sodomy. That's where we get the word sodomy from. So what's going on here in America? A lot of anal going on between same sexes and opposite sexes. That's why they got monkeypox running rampant right now. We covered that last week. That's why you got the letter people here. That's why you got women fighting to kill their kids here. That same spirit is here in America. So let's read Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8 again.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom.
Not geographically called, not physically called, but spiritually called. That spirit of homosexuality, of pedophilia is here in America. Spiritually called Sodom, read.
And Egypt.
And Egypt. What does Egypt represent? Let's get Exodus 20 and 2 real quick. Y'all, ain't even good time to get to the other news article that I had. It's all good, though. You got that?
Exodus 20 and 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
What is Egypt according to the Bible?
The house of bondage.
It's the house of bondage. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8. Piecing this together. Because it said that this great city, which is Babylon, is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Read that again.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt.
Spiritually called Sodom and Egypt because you have what going on in this great city known as Babylon? A lot of homosexuality and a lot of bondage. The Lord's people are here kept in bondage. We were brought over here and subject to what? Bondage. And I'm talking about so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. And I went over this last week how the Native Americans and our Latino brothers, they were actually part of the slave trade too. It says, where also our Lord was crucified. Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. But it says that this city, Babylon the Great, is where the Lord was crucified. How the memory of him. I think that was Kiara telling me that they have a rainbow Bible or something out now. Come on, man. That's how they crucify the memory of Christ. A rainbow Bible? You're killing the memory of Christ and replacing them with your own imagination. You're replacing him with lies. This is why everybody's got that picture of Caesar Bergier hanging up. Yeah, of Caesar Bergier hanging up in their house. They've killed the memory of Christ here in this place. It's why we think that he's white. We think all the disciples are white. We think God even is white. Adam and Eve is white. They killed the memory of Christ here in this place. They're spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. And that great city, once again, is in fact Babylon. Now, I'm still proving that it's America, so let's go to Psalms chapter 137. Dude, you are the loudest eater ever. Psalms chapter 137, and we're going to jump a little bit, y'all. So I'm going to read verse 1 first. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, here it is, Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remember Zion. So it's talking about it's talking about Babylon, y'all. The topic is Babylon here in Psalms 137, verse 1. Now we're going to jump down to verse 7. Watch this. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. So what's he talking about? The Edomites, children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, which means burn it, even to the foundation thereof. Now watch this, verse 8. This is part I want to get to. O daughter of Babylon. So who is Edom? Edom is the daughter of Babylon, meaning Babylon, ancient Babylon, and Neo-Babylon. They had a daughter. They had an offspring. And that offspring is Babylon the Great. We're reading about it right here. Under who? Under the Edomites. The Edomites, they're the ones they're talking about right here in Psalms chapter 137. It's talking about that nation. It ain't talking about Nimrod and the ancient Babylonian Empire, which would be your so-called African, modern-day African. It ain't talking about Neo-Babylon and that nation. It ain't talking about them. It's talking about a whole other group of people, the Edomites. Hope everybody's seeing this. Verse 8 again. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewarded thee as thou hast served us. So it's talking about the atrocities that this Babylon has done, Babylon the Great. Now, who were these people that was in question that was talked about? Verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. So the children of Edom, they reside in this Babylon, which is Babylon the Great. Now, let's get some clues about the children of Edom. And we're going to tie all of this together, put a pretty little bow on it. Let's go to Obadiah. Obadiah, and we're going to read verse 1, and we're going to jump down to verse 4. So Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 4 is right behind Amos. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus said the Lord God concerning Edom. So what we're going to read here about is about Edom, these group of people that are called collectively the Edomites.
One and one.
All right.
That was 1 and 1.
That was 1 and 1. Now we're going to jump down to verse 4 to get some clues, some context clues about this nation known as the Edomites. Verse 4, read.
Obadiah 1 and 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle.
Whoa. Who is it talking about that exalts themselves or portrays themselves as an eagle?
Edom.
Edom, the nation of Edom. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle.
And though thou set thy nest among the stars.
Set the nest. A nest is a home. Remember what they said when they landed on the moon? Tranquility base. One giant step for man, or one step for man, one giant leap for mankind, or something, whatever they said. When they landed on the moon. Yes, it is, in fact, talking about who? America, which is Babylon the Great. What's the emblem of the Americans? What's on the back of the dollar bill that's folded up in your pocket right now, in your wallet, or in your purse? It's the eagle. That's their symbol. They've been rocking this symbol since they were the Greeks, the Romans, the British, the Spanish, the French, and the Russians all use what? The eagle as their symbol. Go back and watch that movie. You can go back and watch Gladiator. The Romans had the eagle up in that movie. Yes, they had the eagle up in that movie, Gladiator. You can go back and watch Alexander. They had the eagle up in there. Or just go online and do some research and type in which nations used the eagle as this emblem. You're going to see it was all Edomite nations who we loosely refer to as white people or the white nation. So this is how we know Babylon the Great is, in fact, America. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 16. Did we finish that? Yeah, we did. We finished that. We'll read it again anyway.
Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest.
Once again, it's talking about the droughts that's going on here in Babylon the Great, which is America, read.
For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people.
And this is going to happen. For fear of war, everybody's going to turn and give it their own nation. Remember, it's not just the war. It's the droughts as well. People are going to be coming together. People of the same nation, of the same nationality, coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall flee.
And they shall flee, everyone to his own land.
Everybody's going to go back home. Everybody's going to be with their own people. All right, y'all. I exhausted my time on that one. It was another article I wanted to get to, but I ain't going to have time. I'm going to just mention it. Matter of fact, get that real quick on NPR. Because this is important, y'all. It's definitely important for us that got teenage kids. Here it is right here. Read that headline. And just read a little bit of that article.
Okay. From NPR.org, reported August 9th, 2022. Snapchat's new parental controls tried to mimic real-life parenting, minus the hovering.
So Snapchat is adding this feature to their app. Read.
Snapchat is rolling out parental controls that allow parents to see their teenagers' contacts and report to the social media company without their child's knowledge any accounts that may worry them. The goal, executives say, is to enable parents to monitor their child's connections without compromising teens' autonomy. Named Family Center, the new suite of tools released Tuesday requires both caregiver and teen to opt in. It allows parents to see who's in their teen's universe, said Nona Ferenik, director of platform policy for Snap.
So I just want everybody to be aware of that, because I have teenage children, and it's interesting that this article came up, because I was just asking several brothers how they manage their children's cell phone, because it's that time in my household. I'm dreading the hell out of it. I don't want to do it, but all directions point to it. So, yeah, I asked several brothers how they do it, and brothers gave me some real valuable information. The Water Brothers, appreciate y'all. Y'all know who y'all are. So I want to move on now, y'all, because we're pressed for time. With today's class, before I move on too, man, I want to say the water to the brother Bakar Gabbar, man, for this mic. He gifted us this mic a couple of years back, man. And, man, I was wrestling with it for a long time, just trying to figure out how the hell to work it. But I finally got it, man, the water, because when I go back and listen to the broadcast, they're clear, man. They're very clear. They're not distorted like they once were. So the water for that mic, brother. All right, y'all. So let's jump into class. So this is the fourth part. Yeah, this is the fourth part of the series, Let's Stay Together. So the first part, we went into adultery. The second part was divorce. And the last part is fornication. But we didn't get all of the divorce part or segment of the class. And I want to get to, because last week, I think we left off in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 7. Yeah, get that for me. So we're transitioning over to class now, y'all. So So read that for me.
Matthew 19 and verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
So the thing in question here is divorcement. So they're asking Christ, once again, this loaded question about divorce. Read on.
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives.
So Moses gave this precept because of the hardness of our hearts to put away our wives. But what we were going over last week was how, last week and the week before actually, how when you divorce your wife, you have to give her a bill of divorcement, which is also known as a get. And the get was a piece of paper, an actual piece of paper, and it was personalized to the couple that was getting divorced. So it was no blank copy, and you just fill in the blank. It pertained specifically to that couple, but you had to give your wife that, and then you can sit around your house. You just couldn't put her out your house without that bill of divorcement, without that paperwork. Because how else would she be able to prove that she was divorced and able to remarry? Because remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1, Moses said that after she got that bill of divorce, she could then go and be another man's wife. But if she didn't get that bill of divorce, like Christ teaches us in Matthew, this is what he's talking about, if you just put her out without the bill, then you force her to commit adultery and the dude that she's dealing with, the new dude. Because she's still technically married. I want everybody to understand that. Now, just to refresh our memory, too, on what adultery is, let's go to the Zondervan page 23 and read that.
Zondervan's Bible Dictionary.
Adultery. Page 23, adultery.
Adultery. In the Old Testament, sexual intercourse, usually of a man, married or unmarried, always with the wife of another.
So this is adultery, y'all. It's not a man having a wife and then having another woman he's dealing with. That's not adultery. That is not adultery according to the Bible. Adultery is a man messing with another man's wife. That's adultery. Always in the scriptures. That's consistent. I hope we understand that. Now, let's hold this. We might come back to this. Let's get Leviticus 20 and 10.
Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife.
With who?
Another man's wife.
This is how you commit adultery. You get with another man's woman. Read.
Even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death.
This was the penalty for adultery. I hope we get that. That's what adultery is. It's a man sleeping with another man's woman. That's adultery. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 7. And in fact, we close. We don't need this no more. I don't think anywhere. So we're going back to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 7. And what verse were we at? Just go to verse 7 again.
Matthew 19 and 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
So why did Moses say you can put your woman away if you give her a bill of divorcement? Once again, this is a loaded question. Read.
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart.
Because the hardness of your heart, and we definitely get to that part, read.
Suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Mm-hmm.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication.
Except it be for fornication. And when he say put away his wife, he's talking about you put her away, but you didn't give her the written bill of divorcement or the get. He says, except for fornication, read.
And shall marry another, committeth adultery.
When it talks about marry another, mean you marry another woman that's in the same situation as you just put your woman in. I went over this last week. So you marry another woman that's been put away but doesn't have the bill of divorcement, you do what?
Committed adultery.
You commit adultery. You commit adultery because you put her away without the bill of divorcement, and then the dude that's with her, he commits adultery. You force her to commit adultery because you didn't give her the proper bill. We going into that. Go ahead.
And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Right. Once again, everything I just said. Read it on.
His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife.
Now listen to what the disciples said to Yahushua, said to Christ. If the case of the man that what?
Be so with his wife.
If it's like this, if marriage is like this, man, read.
It is not good to marry.
What did the disciples say?
It is not good to marry.
Man, is all this drama going to come from me getting married? Man, it's good. I just stay single. I don't have no woman. What verse you in?
That was 10.
Read.
Verse 11.
Now listen to what Christ told them.
But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying.
He said, oh, yeah, what y'all saying is true. Marriage, the married man's life is troublesome. He said, but, and remember what the disciples said, man, I just might as well stay single. And Christ came back and said, man, all men cannot receive this saying. All men can't accept this, that they're better off single. Read.
Save they to whom it is given.
Except the ones that actually understand. What verse are you in?
That was 11.
Read.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb.
And they didn't know a woman. They didn't have a woman. Read.
And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men.
And some became eunuchs to where they, to, just for lack of a better term, they call them born again virgins. Read on.
And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it.
And then it says there are eunuchs that are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven, meaning they're dedicated to the Most High. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to go there right now. Are you finished reading that?
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 27. And I'm going to catch up with you. Yes,
ma'am.
Now, I don't want anybody walking away from this saying, well, Tasha Pye said, if you a man, you shouldn't have a woman. Nope. I'm not saying that. That's not even what Christ was saying. Because why would Christ say, from the beginning it was not so? Why would the scripture say it's not good that man should be alone? Yes. Why the Most High's first commandment was what? Be fruitful and multiply. So yes, the Most High does definitely want us to marry, but understand this. You're going to have some trouble. It's going to be difficult. This is what the disciples were saying. Man, if that's the case, man, I don't think I want to go through all that. I don't think it's worth the trouble. It ain't for everybody. Marriage ain't for everybody. Marriage ain't for everybody. The single life ain't for everybody either. I want us to understand that. All right, where we at?
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife?
This is what Paul says.
Seek not to be loosed.
So if you got a woman, don't seek to get rid of her. Read.
Art thou loosed from a wife?
So you got divorced? You don't have a woman no more? Read.
Seek not a wife.
They don't get you one then. Read.
But and if thou marry.
But and if you do marry, read.
Thou hast not sinned.
It's not a bad thing to get married. What exactly what I just said. Read.
And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned.
It's not a bad thing. Read.
Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh.
He said, but if you do marry, you're going to have what?
Trouble in the flesh.
You're going to have some troubles, man. It's difficult dealing with the opposite sex and everything that it entails that comes with it. It's a difficult task. Marriage is a very difficult task, y'all. Yahweh Shai said it. Christ said it. Now Paul's coming back reiterating it. Read.
But I spare you.
But I spare you. Now jump down to verse 32.
Verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness.
Now, this is why marriage is difficult. One of the reasons anyway. But I would have you without carefulness. Read.
He that is unmarried, things that belong to the Lord.
So if you ain't got a woman, if you ain't got a wife, you're going to be dedicated to the Most High. You will have less of a distraction. Read.
How he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world.
But if you got a woman, you got a wife, you going to care about your wife, how to make her happy. Read.
How he may please his wife.
You see that, y'all? This is why he said you're going to have trouble in the flesh. This is why the disciples said, man, it's better off I just stay by myself. Read on.
There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord.
So if you unmarried, this is why you get a lot of you had a lot of widows in Israel that never remarried, and because they didn't have a man, they what?
Careth for the things of the Lord.
They care for the Most High, all about the Most High, all about pleasing Him. Read.
That she may be holy, both in body and in spirit.
But listen to this. What?
But she that is married.
But the woman that got a man. Read.
Careth for the things of the world.
She careth for what?
The things of the world.
Read.
How she may please her husband.
How she may please her husband. This is why you get a lot of women. I've seen it. They come in for a man. When I say come in, they come into the knowledge of the truth for a man. They be all about that man, all about that man. And when that man do something they don't like, poof, they gone. Which shows you why they was there in the first place. Read on.
And this I speak for your own profit.
What Paul say?
And this I speak for your own profit.
This for your own benefit that you are aware of this. Read.
Not that I may cast a snare upon you.
This ain't to trap you. This ain't a trick in the bag. This ain't a bag of tricks. I'm just saying this to you so you understand this. Read.
But for that which is comely.
No, it says, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Go ahead.
But for that which is comely.
But this which is beautiful, read.
And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction.
Oh, my goodness. You might what?
Attend upon the Lord without distraction.
So, essentially, having a spouse is a what?
Distraction.
Sometimes a very pleasant distraction. Sometimes not so much so. All right, y'all. So let's get into this fornication. Let's go to Deuteronomy 24:1. I'm seeing some of the questions, man. Some of y'all are very eager. But the name, the topic is what? Let's stay together, fornication. So obviously I'm going to cover what? Fornication. It's coming. Hold your horses. I want y'all to understand, man, when we put these classes together, Our purpose is edification. We want y'all to understand the scriptures. We don't rush through nothing. This is why it'd be 50-11 parts to one topic. Because we want y'all to get understanding. More than anything, we don't do these shows just to have a show count. We do it to edify our people, man, and hopefully draw them to the Most High. That's why we put these classes together. Anyway, where we at?
Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes.
So no favor. He don't like her no more. We got to understand that. Read.
Because he hath found some uncleanness in her.
And the reason he don't like her no more, because some uncleanness popped up in her. Read.
Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house.
This is the process of getting a divorce. Moses gave this precept. Christ just talked about that. And we're going to go back to it. But let's go to the Bible Encyclopedia, page 282, the big book, the big old book. Okay. Yes, we're going to be between this one and that one. You can read that definition. When you find it, I'm going to be right back.
Of what word?
Divorce.
Okay. Divorce, dissolution of the marriage bond. The Mosaic law permitted a man to dismiss his wife on account of something indecent or an odious thing, that is, guilt on the wife's part, and demanded that he give her a written bill of divorce. The husband alone, and not the wife, had the right to dissolve the marriage. But he lost this right to dismiss his wife in two instances.
No. Where were you at? Read that again.
The whole thing.
Yep.
Divorce. Dissolution of the marriage bond.
Mm-hmm.
The Mosaic law permitted a man to dismiss his wife on account of something indecent or an odious thing.
So some indecent or odious. Now look up the word odious. Because remember, they're using the word odious, but the what we just read in Deuteronomy 24:1 said uncleanness, right? Okay. All right, read that.
Odious, arousing or deserving hatred or repugnance, hateful.
So you found something hateful in your woman, or what?
Abhorrent. Appalling, awful, disgusting.
Something that appalls you, something that was disgusting. What else?
Nasty.
Something that was nasty. What else?
Nauseous, obnoxious, obscene, offensive.
Obnoxious, obscene, offensive.
Rancid, repulsive, repugnant.
Mm-hmm. Now, long story short, y'all, that could be anything. That could be anything, whatever your discretion is. Is everybody seeing this? It's very unclear what uncleanness is. So we want to go to the concordance, page 1214. Let me find it real quick. And we're going to go to that scripture, which says uncleanness, Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1, had found some uncleanness in her, then let him, okay, and it says H6172, which is the Hebrew, and that's on page 1555. Let's go to page 1555. Oh, snap. Did I do something? She said music?
Yeah.
Oh, tell her call back in. Look like we having some glitches in the system, y'all. Anybody listening, man, text me. Let me know if y'all can hear me. Text me. Okay, cool. Yeah, if you get kicked off, y'all, just call back in. Sometimes it happens. So we're going to the concordance, page 1555. To deal with the word uncleanness. All right, read that. Now listen to this, y'all. Read.
H6172.
Mm-hmm.
From H6168.
And this is talking about what uncleanness means.
Okay. Nudity, literally, especially.
Is what?
Nudity.
Uh-huh, it's nudity.
Literally, especially the pudenda.
Especially the what?
Pudenda.
Pudenda. Keep that word in mind, y'all. Pudenda. Read.
Or figuratively, disgrace, blemish, nakedness, shame, unclean, uncleanness.
Okay. And what was the word again?
Pudenda.
Pudenda, y'all. So this is the definition for pudenda. Can you see that?
Pudendum. Usually pudenda. Anatomy.
So it's a part of your anatomy. Read.
The external genitalia organs, especially the female vulva.
Especially what?
The female vulva.
Especially the female vulva. And all of this coming from the word uncleanness, y'all. So essentially, Moses is saying, if you find that your woman has a funky vulva, you can divorce her. Are y'all seeing this? Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody's seeing this. I hope this is registering. So this is what he's talking about. Having a stanky, this is what he's talking about. A funky cock. Twat. Private area. Whatever you want to call it. Musty poom poom. Now let's go to Matthew. Chapter 19, verse 8. Y'all, I'm not making this up. This is what it said. When I looked it up, this is what it said. Yes. Read this one more time, though. Just so everybody don't think I'm just clowning.
Pudendum. Usually pudenda. Anatomy, the external genitalia organs, especially the female vulva.
So this is what he's talking about. This is the uncleanness. So you could divorce your wife for having a funky vajayjay. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8.
Matthew 19 and 8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart.
Now, this is what Christ was talking about. Because that's hard. You going to leave your woman because the punani is funky? Tell her, hey, go get with some other sisters and find out how to get your proper hygiene on. You ain't going to do that. You're just going to leave because it stinks. Read.
Suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so.
He said, Moses gave you this precept for the hardness of your heart, but from the beginning it was not so. Now, let's go back to the concordance, the big book, this one, and get page 1669. And this is hardness. This is what hardness is, as used in this scripture that we just read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. Page 1669 out of the concordance. If y'all got the big concordance, y'all can follow along. And see, I ain't making this stuff up.
69. The word, the reference is G4642.
And this is for hardness.
Scleros, from the base of G4628. Dry, for example, hard or tough.
Dry, hard, tough.
Figuratively, harsh.
Harsh.
Severe.
Severe.
Fierce. Or hard?
Just hard. So why did Moses give us the law of divorce? He said, for the hardness of our hearts, and the definition or the terminology used for hardness is what again?
Scleros, from the base of G4628. Dry, for example, hard or tough, figuratively harsh. Severe, fierce, or hard.
Now, I got another one at the bottom. Read that one.
G4641.
Because he mentioned that.
Sclerocardia, feminine of a compound of G4642 and G2588. Hard-heartedness.
Hard-heartedness.
For example, specifically, destitution of spiritual perception, hardness of heart.
Just hard, man. So we were divorcing our women for anything, man. Basically, any old reason. Because everything I read about the divorce, that's true, man. We were just making up stuff. This is why Christ had to come back and say this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read verse 9 now. This is why Christ had to say this. Because he said, Moses gave the priest of the hardness of our hearts, man. We were just cold.
Matthew 19:9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication.
It says Christ came back and said the only way you can divorce your woman, it has to be for what?
Fornication.
For fornication. Because why did he say this? Because we some hard niggas. That's why. We're some harsh people, man. This is why he had to come back to say that. Now let's go, matter of fact, hold this and go to the big book, the old one, and we'll go to page 357. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the Bible Encyclopedia, y'all. 57, we're going to look up the definition of fornication, because remember, Christ said that's the only reason you can divorce your woman is for fornication. So let's get what fornication is. Page 375.
Fornication, illicit sexual intercourse, concubinage, prostitution.
No, it says illicit what?
Illicit sexual intercourse.
So doing sexual intercourse or what?
Concubinage.
Concubinage is cohabitation of a man and a woman without legal or formal marriage, which would be what? That's adultery. If you ain't married legally, biblically speaking, meaning what? You're a woman that got put away, didn't have a bill of divorce, that's adultery. Are we getting this? Are we understanding this? That's adultery. It's an illicit sexual act where you're a man having sex with a woman that ain't yours, that's adultery. So that's fornication. Adultery is fornication. Adultery is a form of fornication. I want everybody to understand this.
When you're saying a woman that ain't yours, you mean a married woman.
A married woman, yes. Read it again from the top of the definition.
Fornication, illicit sexual intercourse, concubinage, prostitution.
Prostitution. So if a woman has a husband and she goes and lays with another dude for money, or not for money, she's a prostitute and she's committing adultery. That's fornication. I hope we understand this. Or if it's a woman just running around having sex for money or purses or shopping sprees, she a prostitute. That's fornication. What else?
The vice of sexual immorality was quite common throughout the Near East and Egypt.
This was common. It was common to have sexual immorality amongst the nations, though. It's why the Most High gave us laws, fornication. We're going to get to that. What else?
It references Genesis 39 and 7. In ancient times, religious prostitution widely practiced at pagan shrines.
Religious prostitution. I just did a class on that about Corinthians, the temple prostitutes. So this was going on even in the Old Testament. Read.
Was strictly forbidden by the Mosaic law, Deuteronomy 23 and 17. The Hebrews resorted to this perversion when they fell away from Yahweh.
We resorted to this perversion when we fell away from doing things the Most High's way. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 32.
Matthew 5 and 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery.
So the only way you could divorce your wife is for fornication. Let's go to the concordance, page 1662, for the word fornication and how it's being used in this context.
Page 1662 in the concordance. Reference is G4202. Porneia from G4203.
Porneia. This is where we get the word pornography from, y'all. Pornography is a form of fornication. So if you didn't know, now you know, nigga. Stay your tail off Pornhub and all those other websites. That's fornication. What else?
Harlotry, including adultery and
being a hoe is a form of fornication. So you a woman having sex with multiple partners, that's fornication. You're doing favors for favors. That's fornication. What else?
Including adultery and incest.
And adultery is also fornication. And what else?
Incest.
And incest. That's fornication. You having sex with your brother. You a man, and you having sex with your daddy's new wife or his side piece. That's fornication. Oh, I'm sorry, incest. The Bible considers that incest. You having sex with your auntie, your grandma. That's nasty. What else?
Figurative. Idolatry.
And what is fornication also?
Idolatry.
Idol worshiping is fornication too. That's a spiritual fornication. Is that it?
Fornication.
All of those are examples of fornication. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. So y'all, if there's a law for it, we was doing it, unfortunately. So we're going to Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to read quite a bit of this. Read that.
18 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Leviticus 18 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances.
Now, he was talking about the African nations. Egypt and Canaan. So they were doing these things, but he told us not to do them. And remember, y'all, Christ said the only way you can divorce your wife is for fornication. What's fornication? Fornication is adultery. Fornication is incest. Fornication is, what else did it say? Pornography. Pornography, incest, adultery, and being a hoe, and idolatry. So those are all forms of fornication. Now read on.
Leviticus 18 and verse 4. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him.
That's incest. Read.
To uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord.
If you're approaching, come on, you got to read between the lines, man. He said, if you're approaching your kinfolk to see their nakedness, why else would you be naked with your kinfolk? Why else would you be naked with them? Unless you're having sexual intercourse. This is talking about sexual intercourse. You shouldn't be seeing their nakedness. Sisters shouldn't be with brothers. Aunts shouldn't be running up in their nieces. Uncles shouldn't be running up in their nieces. Aunts shouldn't be playing with their nephews like that. He said, don't do this. This is a form of fornication. And remember, Christ said that this is one of the reasons you can divorce your woman. Read.
The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover.
You can't have sex with your father or your mama.
She is thy mother.
That's your mama, man. Now, you would think that this would be self-explanatory. Or it could be, or this should be common sense. Yes. But Kyle Kopp said all the time, too, common sense ain't common, man. People think that we automatically come out of the womb knowing right from wrong. No, we have to be taught that. This is why the Most High teaching us right here, not to do what? Read it again.
The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Read.
Verse 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness.
Don't mess with, when it says your father's nakedness. Now, verse 7 talked about your mama. So verse 8 is talking about who? It's talking about your daddy's other woman, his other wife or his concubine. You couldn't do that. Remember, Reuben did that, and that's why the blessing of the firstborn was took away from him and given to Judah, to where Judah's the head tribe. Hold on, we got a question come in. Hold up. When people started... No. So we have an Adam and Eve question. Good question. So let's hold where we are to answer this question. Read this question.
Okay. When people started procreation, since everyone came from Adam and Eve, first children, when they had their children, was it with their brothers and sisters?
Now, I want us to understand this. Incest is between those relatives that was just mentioned in Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to get the rest of them. But when you read Leviticus chapter 18, it does not say anything about cousins, okay? Cousins are lawful. Because remember, who did Jacob marry? Jacob married his cousins. He married Leah and Rachel. They were his cousins. But that's lawful in the Bible, in the scriptures. Nothing is wrong with that, y'all. Things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. which means in today's time, since we ain't in our kingdom, we shouldn't be marrying our cousins, y'all. Because we says all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient, meaning all things are not proper. So I wouldn't advise that. Not in this day and time, no. Now, let's deal with Adam and Eve. So let's go to, we got to go to creation for this one, y'all. Because according to religion, and I hope this is what you're asking, or you think, matter of fact, before we get into it, are you thinking that Adam and Eve were the only two human beings on the face of the planet? Are you thinking that before I go into this? Okay. No, they are not. Or they were not. Let's get straight to the point, man. Let's go to Genesis chapter. Genesis chapter 4. Read this.
First one. Mm-hmm. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
So, according to what religion teaches, at this point, it's only Adam, Eve, and their son Cain on the face of the whole planet, according to what we learn in religion, correct? Read on.
And she, again, verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
So this just brought the world population, according to religion, to four people: Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Okay? According to religion. Now we're going to jump a little bit. Matter of fact, just keep reading.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?
Mm-hmm.
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
Mm-hmm.
And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Read on.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
So Cain killed his brother. Now, according to religion and what we've been taught, at this point, the world population is only three people. Is everybody with me? Three people, because one was just eliminated. Read on.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth.
So he cursed, the Most High cursed Cain for killing Abel, read.
Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand.
Mm-hmm.
When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee.
Now this is the punishment. When you do your farming, it ain't going to give you no fruit. Read.
Unto thee.
Don't you eat nothing else.
Unto thee her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth.
So he said Cain was going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. Read.
And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone.
That who?
Everyone.
That who?
Everyone.
Everyone, read.
That findeth me shall slay me.
What the hell is he talking about, everyone?
because according to religion and what we've been taught, there was only at this point three human beings on the face of the planet. So what is he talking about? Everyone that find me shall slay me. Now, we know his parents ain't have to look for him because they knew where he was. He lived with them. So who is the damn everyone? Let's see if the Most High going to say, hey, Cain, what are you talking about? You tripping. It's only you, your mama, and your daddy. That's a lie. Let's see if the Most High says that. Read.
Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain.
No, the Most High agreed with him that there was people. There were other people. That's why he said, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever. There were other people there, y'all. Keep reading, though.
Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him.
Let any person that's finding him. A lot of times, y'all, we be so caught up in religion and what we heard, we don't go to the source ourselves. And when we even do go to the source ourselves, we be reading over stuff because we're reading for distance and trying to get done with reading stuff instead of reading for edification purposes. We can't just be skipping over stuff, y'all. That's why the scripture says they read in the book of the Lord distinctly and gave the sense of it. Distinctly means to read very carefully. Keep reading, though.
Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
Now, it was customarily appropriate for people to name lands after themselves. So this land is named the land of Nod, which means it was named after who? Some cat named Nod. He wasn't mentioned, but now he's being mentioned. Well, read on.
Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife. And Cain knew his wife.
Where the hell he get his wife from? Apparently from somewhere in the city of Nod. Which meant what? There was other people on the face of the planet. Come on, y'all. Let's get out of this religious mindset. Read on.
And she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
Like I told you about Nod. Read on.
And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah.
Sis, I hope you're saying that it was other people on the face of the planet. This is from the very beginning, though. Now let's go back. Let's get Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and read verse 24.
Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave.
No. I'm sorry. Genesis 1, 24.
Genesis 1 and 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so.
Now, this is talking about creation. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Hold this and get 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17.
Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ.
If any what?
If any man.
If any man. The subject matter is what?
Man.
Man. Mankind. If any man, read.
Be in Christ.
Read.
He is a new creature.
He's a what?
A new creature.
Can men be creatures?
Yes.
Absolutely, men can be creatures. Remember, science says that men are what? Mammals. And then you also have other forms of mammals, right? What other forms of mammals do we have?
Other categories?
Categories of mammals. I believe dogs are mammals.
Yes,
horses are mammals, right? They have live births. So a man can be a creature. but creatures were made in the very beginning. And remember, the Most High said he wanted them to multiply, be fruitful. Matter of fact, jump up to verse 21.
2 Corinthians 5 and 21?
Mm-hmm. No. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. I'm sorry, y'all. We're going back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21.
Genesis 2 and 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam.
I keep messing up. 1:21. Genesis 1:21.
Genesis 1 and 21. And God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it, that it was good.
Read.
And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. And
he told them to be fruitful and multiply, which means to replenish. Read.
And to fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Read.
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so.
And beast of the earth. Now, let's get Ecclesiastes 3:18 real quick, because we only got a couple minutes, and we're going to come back to this verse. So Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 3 and 18.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men.
The estate of the sons of who?
Of men.
Talking about men, read.
That God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
That man, a man can be a what?
Beast.
A beast. Where do you think we get beast mode from? What do you mean, oh, man, that boy is a beast? We get that. We use these terminologies so loosely. But, yes, man is a creature. Man is a beast, according to the Bible. If you don't look me, you don't believe me. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up in the dictionary, y'all. Since I hope that answers your question, you got some understanding, and I see that was needed before we continue on in the class dealing with what fornication is. So, y'all, that's our time. Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend. To tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us, y'all. The Water Mashaw for hooking up the broadcast. I hope y'all got edified, got some understanding out of the class. If you have questions, keep them coming, man. Keep your questions coming. Appreciate y'all for listening in. And with that, we're going to say
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.